The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Pastor Robert Morris joins us to talk about his new book, Take the Day Off, the best title for a book ever. Take the Day Off. I mean, come on, people. How is that not great? Also, adversity, it's not an if, but a when. It's not a why, but a why not. But it's all about our reaction to it. And finally, unity, liberty, and charity.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. You know, some people want to know when I do that introduction, why do I list all those things? And the main reason is because if I feel like talking about any of those things, that way I can, because I've warned you. See how that works? Anyhow, here's what we're asking you. If there's something you want to talk about or something you want to share, you're welcome to contact us. 972-445-0770. Maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's a praise report. Maybe you just want prayer because you just need something physical in your body, the Lord to touch it. Great. Let's pray. Let's agree. Let's get as many people believing as we can. The one thing I do know is if you take one person and they have a quart of Jesus, and you take another person and they have a quart of Jesus, if you put them together, then there's two quarts of Jesus. That much I figured out. Yeah, it's not brilliant, but it ain't bad. Any topic is open for conversation, of course, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. We're going to start off by giving acknowledgement to our sponsor. Actually, Jamie is going to be coming into the studio on Friday. So let's start off with an acknowledgement to Jamie Blumenthal. You see how fast Wonder Julie is? I caught her off guard. She got it right there just in time. Here's the bottom line. RetireTheRightWay.com. That's their website. RetireTheRightWay.com. Why? Because you don't want to retire the wrong way. Uh-huh. You don't want to do those things wrong. You want to plan right, retire right, retire the right way. Well, Jamie and Nancy are in charge of retirement strategies and solutions. And if you go to RetireTheRightWay.com, you can find out what it is they utilize for strategy and how they can walk you through and make the money safe that you have so it doesn't just go bye-bye. You just don't want to use what money you have and make it go in the wrong direction. You want to go in the right direction. You want to retire the right way. RetireTheRightWay.com. Jamie will be in studio on Friday. If all goes well, assuming all goes well. I do need to check with Wonder Julie. I hate to do this to her, but she knows the weather better than I do because I don't know it.
51 in the overnight, 72 tomorrow.
Okay, sunny, rainy, spotty?
Partly cloudy.
Are we getting rain like any Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
You know what? There is some rain in the area, but it's on the east side. So you might get some in your area of fate, but we're probably not going to get it from Dallas on over west.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to handle the last cut of the year.
Oh.
So I'm kind of coordinating. And if it's wet, then I don't want to, you know. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do it then. But I said to my wife, I could just leave it. And you know what she said? No, you can't. That's kind of like leaving the garbage. Can't do that. Like, oh.
You don't want to be that neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what's worse is all of our neighbors, they know that we're renting, but our yard is like as nice as every, you know. we make sure that it's, as you know, right up there with everybody else's. There is one neighbor though that is that neighbor. Now, I would not normally tell on this neighbor. You know, maybe there's something going on. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. But this that neighbor has been this that neighbor since we've been this there then, the whole time. I mean, it's just like they cut their yard like twice a year. Just like, wow.
Well, again, you don't know their situation.
Correct.
You know, when I got divorced, I don't have any lawn equipment, so I had to find someone to cut my lawn, and they didn't always work out, so you don't know.
I did talk to my wife about if we end up staying in the house, and we're talking about relocating so we're closer for her work. I did tell her, so somewhere between the studio and her work is kind of like the goal, but I said, I'm not cutting the grass next year. I'm just like, just nah.
I find a house with just concrete that's painted green.
You see, this is why, you know, so I was in California for 20 years, but prior to California, I was in Arizona. And see how what they do is they just take rocks and they put them in front of the house. And then if you're in Sun City, they spray the rocks green.
Drought tolerant.
So, right. So it looks like grass.
No, it doesn't.
I know.
You keep telling yourself that.
All right. I'm gonna work on that one.
All right.
All right. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to play our recording with Pastor Morse. It was a really nice interview. He's a great guy. Just really easy to talk to. He's more laid back than me. But then again, you know, a chihuahua that just you know, just had 15 cups of coffee might be more laid back than me, possibly. Okay, and there's nothing against chihuahuas there, so relax. We have one trivia question that we'll be able to work in. It is between now and the bottom of the hour. You can have the opportunity to do it. It's a pretty simple, straightforward question. There's a number attached to it. How many husbands did the Samaritan woman have, or had? How many husbands had the Samaritan woman had when Jesus met the woman at the well? He said, "Go get your husband." Right? She goes, "I don't have a husband." And then Jesus said, "You're right. You've had." How many was that number? How many had she had? Right? How many had she had? That's the trivia question. What is our number here? It doesn't change, does it? 972-445-0770. If you think you know the answer to that one, let me take this opportunity to talk to you just a little bit about some of our unity and some of our differences and so on. There is a lot of differences among us, and today I was doing my devotions, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading in a particular version that's a literal translation, so it's, I enjoy that. I enjoy reading softer translations and more firm translations and kind of going back between them to see the space of thought. And here's what you really get when you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you get into the heart of the Greek and you get into the heart of what's being said. It is this. There is unity, but there is not a conformity. There is unity and there is not a conformity. And the premise of 1 Corinthians 12 is your body. Okay? So if you will take a moment and do some self-examination, you will notice that you, in most cases, you will have two arms, two hands, various fingers. You have legs, you have shoulders, you have a stomach. If you're like me, your stomach maybe protrudes out a little bit more than it's supposed to. You have feet, you have all these different elements, and you don't sit there and think, well, you know, I think I'll just take this leg and put it to the side for today. That's just really not a part of my body. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, you can't have different parts of the body say to different parts of the body, don't need you. Don't need you. Could you imagine if your elbow said to your heart, yeah, I don't need you. Or if your eyeball said to your feet, don't need you. It's a kind of a silly way to conceive of it or think of it, but yet that's the illustration that Paul uses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he's writing. And what's important about that is to kind of get that there are essentials in Christianity, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again, that he's coming again. These are essentials to our faith, and we're not moving on those, okay? Those are non-negotiables. But then there's non-essentials, Well, we do communion every time we get together. No, we do communion once a month. No, we do communion the second Thursday of every Wednesday after Friday. Whatever. That's not the, it's not that the frequency is not what's mentioned. It's doing it, and it's doing it right, not doing it wrong. That's what. So that does not become a fellowship essential like the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there's other issues that we get into that some people really, I mean, they it's just like, I'm into sports. No, the other person's sports are violent. It's just like, you know, come on. That's not the stuff that you separate in Christianity over, whether you like sports or not. You know, unless you're an Ohio State fan, then we might have a different discussion. But the idea is to understand that in essentials, there's unity. In non-essentials, there's liberty. But in everything, there's got to be charity. There's got to be love that covers everything. And I think what it is, and people don't want to admit it, and I don't want to admit it in some of the things that I, you know, prefer, but it's pride. It's pride that says, I'm the eye, I don't need the wrist. Or I'm the shoulder, I'm so much better than the calf muscle. That's all pride. And it's like, the Lord don't like that. And they get you, and we get so far into this, just so you can understand where I'm trying to go with this, we get so far into this, we get into translation differentials. So I'm just telling you right now, I'm reading a Greek translation, and then there's less than the literal Greek translations, there's transliterations, there's all these different elements. But here's the thing. If you think you're reading the Word of God and it's not the Word of God because the word feet is used as opposed to cubits, you lost your mind, okay? Because cubits was not the measure back in the day. And you're thinking, no, it was cubits. It was cubits. Well, first of all, a cubit's 18 inches, for those that want to know. And second, that's not correct. In fact, 92% of everything Jesus quoted was from the Septuagint, which was a translation of the Old Testament. So you can't argue that. It's not an arguable fact. So here's what I'm trying to say. Those are not the things. The core of the faith, the understanding that God can write a book, the grasping that we as a people are a collective and we might have differences like all brothers and sisters do, but we have the same Father, we're blood relatives, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. That's the stuff that God wants to see out of us. That's what he wants to see to come forth from us, to see in our existence. In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things charity. Hey, that's a good idea. You don't want that many more people like you anyway, do you? Don't you want them all to do the best they can to be like Jesus? That's what I want anyway. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la,
asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the axe up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. And if you can't shout sight, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, you can send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, got a few new things on the website, davidspoonmedia.com. That's davidspoonmedia.com. Our trivia question that is in the floating realm: how many husbands did the Samaritan woman at the well have when she met Jesus? He even told her, without her telling him, how many husbands she had. How many husbands did she have in her past? Ooh, tough one. All right, this segment brought to you by Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right,
our good friend Clint with MrRestore.com. Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in Dallas, in Fort Worth, in Southlake, in Denton, in Grapevine, in everywhere. In Amarillo, they're looking to go to Colorado. I mean, it's a kind of a big thing, right? Here's the deal. If you have anything going on, if you're a real estate agent and you have somebody in your realm and you're thinking, wow, they had some damage, you want them to contact Mr. Restore. It's free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. That's always a good thing. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, family-owned and operated, 50 years of restoration experience, on-site within 60 minutes, and thousands. Did you say thousands? I did. Thousands of happy customers. MrRestore.com at 877-631-7576. It's 877-631-7576. All right, we are going to be talking about, let's see, what else we got going on? So we got Jamie on Friday. We got a couple things going on. I'm looking to get Johnny Hill back in here pretty soon. So I sent him off a text today, see if we can hook up. We are going to talk about something called priorities. And then at the bottom of the hour, after I exit, when we come back, we're actually going to play the interview I did with Pastor Robert Morris. Just going to kind of go right into it. And then after that is over, then we will come back and we'll have a short or a smaller type of teaching that we will be doing. All right. This is called priorities. It's coming out of Numbers chapter 15. So for those that know, the first five books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also known as the Torah. And in Numbers, which is book number 4, this portion comes out, and it's a fascinating portion if we can focus in on what the Lord is trying to tell us. It says this in Numbers 15, verse 37 through 39. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes." For those that have escaped the show or never heard it before, I was born and raised Jewish. So in Hebrew school, we would have to wear a tallis. And the tallis is what you would put around your neck. And at the end of the tallis, there's blue ink and there's white ink. And then at the very end of those, there's tassels. And the big thing we used to do in Hebrew school, yeah, I'm just telling you the truth, don't get mad at me, is we used to, at the very end of the tallis, we used to take the cord and we could see, we'd have a race who can tear it and split it and make it stop being elastic the fastest. We were in Hebrew school. You know, I was 11. What did you want from me? The tassels are there to help us remember something. It's difficult if you've ever had, you know, this type of wardrobe, this type of garment on you. It's difficult to ignore it. It's kind of like this. Have you ever had, like, a blanket around you, around your shoulders? It's kind of tough to ignore that you got the blanket there. Well, so we had this piece of garment around us, and the garment would be to remind us. That was the biblical intent. For us, as we were growing up, nobody told us. We were just told, wear this, wear this. But the reason that God had people wear these is because he wanted them to remember. The tassels were to help our mind focus on the commandments of God. The commandments of God have a priority in our lives. The commandments apply to everybody, and those that reject the commandments of God will receive the penalty that comes from rejecting the commandments of God. But the Lord doesn't want us to be able to be in a position where we forget. It does remind me a little bit of the Steve Martin joke when he says, "Why haven't you paid taxes for 20 years? And he said, "I forgot." I mean, it's like you can't get away with forgetting if your clothes are there to help you remember that we're supposed to keep the commandments of God. And here's what the Lord says at the end of verse 39. So do not follow after your own heart or your own eyes. Instead, he wants us to focus on the commandments of God. Why? Because oftentimes our hearts are a little more wicked and deceiving than we're wanting to admit. There's a philosophy that says, follow your heart. Well, that sounds fantastic, but every mass murderer and every person that's created any kind of terrorism has followed their heart. The heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? You don't follow your heart in the sense of, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, what if your heart leads you to commit adultery? You think that's good? No, that's not good. It's my heart that says, every once in a while, I need to cheat. Well, your heart's full of wickedness and evil, and that's the bottom line. Here's the problem there. The heart is not going to give you the straight and narrow that the commandments of God are going to give you. Additionally, guess what won't do that as well? Your eyes. This one's tougher. This is the one where you go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which, by the way, is my grandson's verse. That's the verse they gave him for growing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. We look at something and base most everything that we do on our understanding. That is a lack of trust. So the Lord tells us, don't follow your heart, don't follow your eyes, follow my commandments. the truth of God, the law of God, the word of God is first, not last in our lives. And you're thinking, well, how does that work? Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know the way to go? The word of God will help you understand the commandments of God, the desires of God, the intentions of God, the directions of God. The word of God will lead you into a path like a light on a dark path. Now, I know that there's books that have done paraphrasing, and they say, oh, it's like a flashlight. Oh, well, you can't really say it's like a flashlight. No, it's not a flashlight. But that picture is still good. If you're walking down a trail, I went to camp in Tamaqua, and that was in Canada, in Algonquin Park. If you were walking down a trail at night and you didn't have a flashlight, you were going to bump into stuff, okay? The flashlight helped you see so you didn't run into stuff, trip, fall over the place, hurt yourself. That is what the Word of God is like. It is a light for our path. It is a lamp to our feet. And while our heart has got a lot of issues, and don't tell me you don't got a lot of issues. If you were a Detroit Lions fan and you saw some of those calls between the Lions and the Green Bay Packers, you would have issues too. But the bottom line is, you can't let your heart lead the train. You can't let your eyes lead the train. You got to have the word of God lead the train. Sometimes you look at a circumstance and you think you understand the whole thing. You ever notice that? Here's a perfect example. You go into a court of law. Have you ever been a juror in a court of law? Or some of you just watched a court show. And you see the person at the defendant's desk. And you think, guilty, not guilty. And you start coming up with all the solutions. You haven't even heard the case. And you've already made some decisions. It is a fool that answers a matter before he hears it. Like, ooh. So here's the big key. It's not your heart. It's not your eyes. It's the commandments of God. There are 10 in the early phase, and they've been summarized into 2. In the 10, there are 3 to God, 1 for ourselves, and 6 to our neighbors. In the next interview, you're going to hear a discussion about commandment number 4. Commandments matter to God. They are supposed to lead the way over our hearts and over our eyes. Think of it in those terms. Wow. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then back with Pastor Robert Morris. Destroying
everyone. Fact, Medicare is a national health insurance program. Fact, Medicare can be confusing and doesn't always provide enough coverage for seniors' needs. The answer is the Benefit Link. This is a zero-cost service that helps seniors navigate their Medicare options by providing objective advice and personal support. Fact, for no cost, the Benefit Link has advocates available on a direct basis every day who are ready to help you. Call 972-BENEFIT. That's 972-BENEFIT. Or go to thebenefitlink.com. That's thebenefitlink.com. The Benefit Link is passionate about providing peace of mind. Fact, this is great for you, so act now.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment.
because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to remind you that if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Also, the website, davidspoonmedia.com, because that's my handle. There we go. Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off. Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I appreciate you taking the time. Let's start off just right off the bat. What moved you? I mean, I know it was the Lord that moved you, but what really kind of put you in the direction to write this book at this time?
Well, I'll tell you what started me in this direction was several years ago, even before I started writing the book, was to get the principle in my own life. And I actually call it the Great Underwear Crisis of 2005. And what I mean by that is I was going. And I was getting dressed, opened up my underwear drawer, and there was only one pair left. And I remember standing there trying to figure out what I was going to do for the next day. And I was so tired that I couldn't even think about washing or, you know, going to Walmart and buying, you know, 12 pair for 97 cents or whatever it is. And I just tired. I was worn out, exhausted. And that's when the Lord started dealing with me about taking a day off once a week, which is in God's top 10 list, which I'm sure we'll get to that. So that it started as a principle in my life, and then I realized this is a principle that everybody needs to adhere to, and that's when I decided to write the book.
Yeah, in our society, which does not really understand the concept of stop or rest, it's an amazing principle that you're taking something that was written in the Ten Commandments. You got the first three that are toward the Lord, the fourth one is in the Sabbath, and the next six, I think, are for the people. I think I got that close to right, if not right. The bottom line is we miss that because we're so busy. Let me ask you, because as you go through the book, your book encourages people to operate in God's principles, the truth of his word. Let me ask you this, and then we'll dive into the deeper questions, but why is it so hard for any of us to take a day off? What is that in us? Is that our culture, or is that our sinful nature? What is that?
Well, I think it's actually just boils down to the old-fashioned sin of pride. And it's that we want to do something. We want to accomplish something. We want people to know we're hard workers. We don't want people to think bad of us, that we're lazy or something. And so, you know, we're just working all the time. Someone texts us, we got to get back to them. We got to email them. We got to talk to them. We got to make sure that our presentation is ready for Monday. So we take, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and we go to the kids' ball games, and then we work. And I think it goes back to pride, which really goes back to not being able to trust God, that if we'll do what he says and rest one day a week, we'll actually be more productive in the other 6 days than we will by driving ourselves into the ground 7 days a week.
That's excellent. What an excellent point you make there. So as we go through the book, as we're going through the chapters, one of the chapters, of course, that really, there's 10 chapters, but in chapter 3, you talk about the four tanks. So I'd like you to take, if you will, a moment to explain, what are the four tanks, and what does that mean, and what is it we should be looking at in regards to that?
Yeah, so when the Lord dealt with me, he gave me the analogy of these big fuel tanker trucks you see driving down the road. And he said, Robert, you're like this. You fill people up with fuel. You fill them up with the Bible when you speak on the weekends. You fill up your staff during staff meetings. You fill up your family in the evenings. You fill up your friends. You're filling other people up. It's like the tanker truck that drives and he fills up gas stations so they can fill up other people as well. But he said at some point you got to go back to the refinery or wherever the tank gets full, and you have to sit there and let your tank, you know, get filled up, your own tank. And but you don't like to do it because you just have to sit there and do nothing while it's filling up. So you think you can just keep on driving to another gas station, but you don't even know your own fumes yourself. And then the Lord said, and you actually have four tanks that need to be refilled that you're filling other people up, a spiritual tank, a physical tank, a mental tank, and an emotional tank. And the Lord showed me that if I can rest physically and rest mentally, rest my mind and come up with better ideas, rest my spirit, rest my emotions, then sometimes we're even emotionally exhausted and we have no emotions left for our spouses or for our children because we're emotionally exhausted. So those are the four tanks that we have to keep full and refilled.
Excellent. I mean, that's just excellent. All right. So now in regards to that refueling, I'm trying to, you know, is there this might be skipping ahead. So give me a little grace here. Is there a best system for refueling? I mean, for me, I know spiritually it's when I'm doing my devotions, things of that nature, when I'm worshiping the Lord. Are there things to do that can help us keep those tanks continually going?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, because we're all individuals and we have different personalities, different tastes, different interests, different hobbies, they can vary from person to person. And so you really have to figure out, what is it that emotionally replenishes me? What is it that physically replenishes me? For instance, I like to walk outdoors, and my wife likes to swim. Then what is it, you know, mentally that replenishes me? And some people love to read books on certain topics. I like to read books about my hobbies or magazines about my hobbies. And that actually allows my mind to rest some and not think about my work, which is preaching, teaching, writing books. But someone else, instead of always reading books about what you do, what if you just had some sort of hobby like boating or snow skiing and you read things about that? So you just kind of have to figure out what replenishes you. But the whole point of the Sabbath, let me just jump ahead, is resting from what you do as for work. People ask me all the time, what do you do on your day off? And I say, that's not the question. The question is, what do you not do?
Ah.
And what you don't do is work. And so whatever you do for a living, for your job, for your vocation, for your calling, you don't do that one day a week. And that's the biggest thing. If you read the fourth commandment, it's the longest commandment, and there's not one thing in there about going to church. And I believe in going to church. I'm a pastor. But that's not what it's about. It's all about rest. I tell everyone, reread it. It's about resting one day a week. And what's wonderful is God gave it to us as a gift. What's horrible is we have to talk people into taking a day off.
All right, let me throw this at you. One, I got an idea for you and your wife. If you step up your faith and you can walk on water, then while she's swimming, you can walk back and forth. That might not happen, but it's just a thought. That's not going to happen, is it? And then the other thing is, like, on my day of rest, like, I do study, not to the level that you do, but we'll review issues and so on and so forth. On my day of rest, it turns out in this last 6 months, I've had to cut a half an acre with a push mower on my day off. And I keep thinking, I don't get it.
Well, at least it's not the studying for your program, studying to speak somewhere, studying like that. You're doing something. What happens is sometimes even when we're doing something like that, it's amazing that we'll get creative ideas when we're just mowing or something. You know, I have a little tractor I like to ride on. And what I do then is I send myself an email or voicemail or something and then go right back to resting so that I capture that thing and then I can think about it and write it down and expound on it later.
Excellent. That's excellent. All right. I got the theology question is coming up after this question. I want to go to this question in regards to the great silent epidemic. I'm trying to figure out if there's a little bit of Psalm 46:10 mixed into there about being silent before the Lord. Is that part of that, or is the great silent epidemic of our time something beyond that?
Well, I think it's a part of it, but it's beyond it as well. So there's a lot more about that that we could say. And about spending the time with the Lord and resting and getting refreshed, that's kind of that spiritual replenishment. But I think it also, this includes so much more, the physical replenishment, the mental, the emotional. You know, I write in the book examples of like an artist that takes a year off, literally every 7 years, and he says he gets all of his creative ideas. He travels to other countries during that time for the next 7 years. He gets his ideas during that time, new ideas. He sees new cultures. So there's something about our mind and our emotions and our body getting replenished as well, not just our spirits.
Wow, that's wild. All right, so the question most people are going to have is, does it have to be a certain day of the week? And you'll get into the argument of the original Jewish, being born and raised Jewish, you know, Friday sundown to Saturday, and then you got the Christian Sabbath. Does it have to be some specific time?
Yeah, I don't think so. I personally think that the law was fulfilled in Jesus, and yet we still need to keep those principles. And when we talk about the top 10, just the top 10, let's just focus on that for a moment. There's no other commandment that we would think about violating. For instance, we wouldn't lie. We know that's wrong. We know we're saved by grace, but we don't want to lie. We're not going to steal, commit adultery. We're not going to murder. You know, we're not going to have idols in our home. It's amazing how this is the one commandment we feel like doesn't apply to us anymore. And again, God put this in his top 10 list. So the New Testament comes along and says there's still a rest for the people of God. And Jesus even covers another thing, which is phenomenal. He covers two things, actually. One is that we weren't made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve us. And then another thing he covers is, if your ox falls in the ditch, pull it out. So he covers emergencies. So if they call me on my day off and say, hey, the church is on fire, I don't say, hey, it's my Sabbath, you know. I mean, I understand that. But if you have an emergency every week, if your ox is falling in the ditch every week, you're a bad manager. You need to set some policies in place for that, you know.
Good point.
So I don't think it has to be a certain day. It is the seventh day. But what's my seventh day? And for me, my seventh day, the end of my week, is Monday, because I'm preparing for the weekend. Right. And then Monday is the time that I could take off and take that day of rest.
Yeah, excellent. Another excellent point. So when somebody reads this book, okay, and I want people to know that you can get this book. I want to make sure we cover all the places. You're going to be able to get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You're going to be able to get it from the Gateway Church website as well as from PastorRobert.com. They can get the book in various places, correct?
That's correct. It's anywhere books are sold. Wherever they want to buy a book, it'll be available.
Okay, so that's good to know. I'm an Audible guy, so that's always going to be helpful for me. And then the question I really want to ask you is, when somebody reads this, you know, you have a desire, you have something in your heart that this is the message I'm really hoping that they take away. Somebody sits down, reads this book, hears this book, goes through this book, studies this book, maybe does even a Bible study on it. What are you hoping the most that they will take away from the experience?
I'm hoping the most that they're going to learn that God loves them and wants them to live long and enjoy life. I actually have an example in there of a guy in Japan that they found dead at his desk. They go back in HR to find that they find out he's getting all these awards of HR and he's one of the best workers, but he worked 110 hours a week. 7 days a week. And but here's the kicker. He was 34 years old when he died. He had basically worked a whole lifetime, and he was only 34. And so they came up with a word in the Japanese language now for it because it's happening so often. The Chinese have come up with a word, too, and so have the Koreans. And, of course, again, those are different cultures. We have the Judeo-Christian culture here. I know we're getting away from it some in our country, but I hope we can get back to it. This is something God created for our benefit. It's a blessing. It's not a burden. And that's what I want people to take away from it, is that they can actually rest and enjoy their life and live longer if they'll take advantage of this benefit.
Excellent. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you might not know this. You probably should know this, but you might not. Worship in the Word, the radio show that the pastor does, is here on KAAM 770 at 9 a.m. on Sundays and at 9 p.m. on Sundays. So you can get the messages that the pastor's sharing throughout the week all the time. You can also visit Gateway Church and get additional messages and additional information. And I am encouraging every person who can hear the sound of my voice, look, how could you disagree with the commandments of God? Take the day off. Receive God's gift of rest. This is the book that Pastor Robert Morris has written. It's a gift to the church, and I'm praying that the church will receive the gift, not reject it, and utilize it so that they can be strengthened the other 6 days while they're getting that rest from the seventh day. Excellent job, Pastor Morris. I really appreciate you taking the time and hanging out with us, and it's been our privilege and our honor.
Thank you, Dave, and I really appreciate what you do and listening to you as well. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you are in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you are in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Morris. Robert Morris did a great job on the interview. His book is really good. It's one of the big blessings about being on the radio is I got an advanced copy and was able to review it, and it's got some excellent material. His show on Sundays, 9 a.m., also again at 9 p.m., Worship in the Word, anytime you want to listen on Sundays. Don't forget, tonight, also at 6:30, is Tiffany Jones with Churches in Action. Keep that in mind as well. You get a great opportunity to find out what's going on with the different churches, different ministries, different things taking place in our areas. Okay, I only have about 5 or 6 minutes, and I want to make sure to communicate this one thing to you. And as you know, I've tried to be as honest as I can in regards to growing and developing. And, you know, it's easy to be in a position where I can just say, hey, everything I do is perfect. You wouldn't know. But to me, it's just more authentic to be able to go, this is my struggle, this is what I go through. This is the up and down of it all. So sometimes when I go through something and the Lord will try and teach me, even if it's a gentle rebuke or a gentle reminder, I want to be able to communicate that with everybody else that may be going through it at the same time. This is coming out of Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. This doesn't sound like fun to me. The people became like those who complain of adversity. The Lord became angry. The camp started to have some fire, not the kind of fire that we would like to see. It's not the same way it is now as it was then. You don't really see the edges of the camp burning towards you. But I'll tell you one thing we do know, Romans 15:4, everything was written in the past, was written to teach us. We know that. We know Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, you've wearied me with your words. And sometimes when we do some complaining, we're basically telling God he's doing a lousy job being God. We don't say that, but that's what we're communicating. So when you have something like the psalmist, like David, who writes, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He's even bringing his own communication, his own internal and external being before the Lord and saying, hey, I want to make sure that my words and my meditation are good before you. There is no way that you and I can harbor in our hearts an unspoken resentment against the Lord and think he's not going to know. Okay? That doesn't happen. But what we need to be aware of is sometimes that hardness of our heart, that's a good indicator for us to watch the words that we speak, because the words are going to tell you what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you notice that your words have a lot of complaining and negative tone, I'm not talking about positive speech. I'm just talking about examining our words. And if we do a lot of complaining, or if we do a lot of, you know, this should be this way or this should be this way, the Lord doesn't like that. It's hard at times to fully trust the Lord. It's not always easy, but you can kind of examine where you're at. I can kind of examine where I'm at by just looking at my own words and going, maybe a little less of that. I mean, for some of us, we need get a little cheese because we have so much wine going on. It's ridiculous. We got to pull it back some. We need to replace that complaining with praising. Because at least in praise, we're giving an acknowledgement that God is in the process of working things that will be for our benefit. Really, it comes down to whether or not we believe that God has our best interests in mind or not. Now, we know he saved us. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us, but then does it all stop there? And now everything else is just an experiment or a game? Or is the same passion to save us the same passion that keeps us? And if we genuinely believe that, while it's not wrong to have those moments, it's wrong to sit there and be people who speak of complaint all the time against our King and our Lord. If we could just move complaining out and praising in, our hearts would be more joyful, our faith would be more vibrant, our lives would be better. They'd only be better because we wouldn't be sitting there wallowing in the mire. We would be there aware of the grace and the goodness of God. Those are good things for us to keep in mind. God is for you, not against you. He's more with you than you are with him. That has always been the case, and it shall always be the case. He loves you, and he's never stopped loving you once, even if life has been hard at times. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.